Morning, everybody. If I can get a couple of the guys to hand them out, maybe enough for each individual. If it's not, then share it with your family. So today is when Christians around the world celebrate the resurrection. We are privileged in the assemblies in that during our breaking of bread time, we focus on the cross and we focus on the death, but we also mention the resurrection, and we remember the scriptures that tell us to do these things until He comes. So on every Sunday morning, we're able to remember what He's done for us and to look forward to His return, which will hopefully be soon, maybe by before I finish this message. That would certainly be great to be raptured up during Resurrection Sunday. So this message is, of course, going to be about Resurrection Sunday. I try not to say Easter just because I want to make sure that everybody is clear that we're talking about the resurrection and we're not talking about Easter bunnies and eggs and chocolate and everything else that is associated with the holiday of Easter. And we want to make it specific that it's about the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done for us. So if you want to turn to Romans chapter 8, we're going to begin there. So the message this morning, we're going to start off in Romans chapter 8, but we're going to be in several different verses, as you can see on the paper. We're going to read some of those, and then some of those you can go back later on and read those as well. This is just, it's not necessarily an outline, it's just some high points of what the message is going to be. That way if I misspeak or I forget to go over something in my notes, you still got the basic overview of what the message is going to be. And I encourage you just to go back and read those scriptures as you have time. So we're going to start off with Romans chapter 8, but the message is called, my God, why have you forsaken me? So I start off this message with a question. Have you ever felt like God has or had forsaken you at any point in your life, whether you were a believer or an unbeliever? And I see some nodding of some heads. Life is difficult as we are fully aware of that, and the Lord has ways of showing us that we're weak and that we desperately need Him. But a lot of times when we're going through these trials and tribulations, these tests, these everything that we go through in this life, sometimes we can get to the point where we feel like God has just left us, that He's left us to our own devices, He's left us to go through the tribulations and the tests and the temptations and so forth. But what I found in my life is once I'm out of those valleys, then I see God's hand throughout all of that, and then I can say that He is faithful. So hopefully as we go through this message, as we look at some things of what people have gone through and we look at what the Lord Jesus has gone through, we can come to this conclusion, which I'm sure most of us have, that God is faithful no matter what. But there are difficult times that we've gone through, and there are difficult times ahead, I'm sure, again, unless the Lord should rapture us away today, and that would be perfectly fine with me. So some of the thoughts that I had were, you receive a medical diagnosis, a family member dies, a marriage ends, you have a loss of a job, eviction, you prayed, you claimed scripture, you cried out to the Lord. You did all that you thought you needed to do, but still it seemed as if God had forsaken you. It can sometimes be difficult to reconcile life events with Scripture. So I want us to read these verses in chapter 8 first, and then we'll get into some examples. But that last part, it can sometimes be difficult to reconcile life events with Scripture. So we're going to jump in at verse 28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, for those who are called according to His purpose, For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called, and those whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather he who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we read those scriptures and I say, man, that's some awesome words right there for the believer, because it's talking about the believer in that context. What I do when I go through the scriptures, I circle words that really stand out to me, or if they're being mentioned a lot of times in a passage, I'll circle it or I'll highlight it or something. And that one word stands out to me, and y'all may or may not know it, but it's all. So go back and you read those verses and you start to circle or highlight all, A-L-L, and everybody knows what all means, right? What? All. The Greek means, it's spelled P-A-S, I think, pause. What does it mean? All. So when you go back and you read through this section right here and you start to circle or highlight that word all and see what it's standing with, see what it's connected to, and then you see the promises that we have in Christ Jesus. So, my God, why have you forsaken me? When we go through the trials and the tribulations, these tests, when we have temptation knocking at our door, we can always go back to Scripture and say, this Scripture right here is for me. All of it is for me. So no matter what I go through, I can go back to these Scriptures. But when we're going through those things, it can sometimes be difficult to reconcile life events with Scripture. So what is true? Is the life event true, or is the Scripture true? The Scriptures are true, but that life event is true as well. It's how we interpret that life event based upon Scripture. So the Scriptures never fail, they never change. So whatever life event I'm going through, I can always count on God. He's never going to leave me and he's never going to forsake me, because that's what the Scriptures talk about. We were outside for the last 2 days, so my nostrils and throat and everything is clogged up. So this month is April. Easter or Resurrection Sunday is one of those things that it travels on its dates. It's not like Christmas, December 25th of every single year. So Resurrection Sunday is based upon Passover and how they time that on their calendar. So this month, it is in April. And April for me has at least three events that bring back memories of emotions and trials and tribulations and so forth. So I'm just going to give you the three dates. I'm going to go through two of the events, and then we're going to jump into Scripture, and then we're going to jump into the main point, which will be Resurrection Sunday. So the first one that I remember vividly, because I was going through it, was April 4th of 2015, and that's when my dad went to be with the Lord. That was a great celebration, because he was saved, knew where he was going. The events up to that were not pie in the sky, heavenly, joyful. Some of it was, because my dad, he was a little bit out of his mind on occasions, and it was quite comical and funny. But in between those times was very difficult and stressful. So that's the first event. So when that comes back around, I'm joyful, but also sad. So the events leading up to his departure from this earth was difficult. The medical system, we have a great medical system in certain aspects, and we have a horrible medical system in other aspects. And I got to deal with both of those when he was going through his health issues. So sometimes they were frustrating. At times they were overwhelming. But in this particular situation, I never felt like God had forsaken any of us in our family. It was a precious time, almost a year of going through the health issues with my dad and everything. So I never felt like the Lord had forsaken us. The stress level was high on some occasions dealing with family members and just how we felt like it should have been done like this. And the other felt like it was done like that. And you still got the one parent that's still healthy and they're going through everything that they're going through, losing a spouse. So that is just a memory from this month. Now the next two brought out the flesh in me. I'll just go ahead and tell you that. They were very stressful times because they happened in the same month, the same year, about 2 weeks apart. So the first event, a lot of y'all were with us as we went through both of these. April 15th, around 5 p.m., and I always like to tell you the category. It was an EF2 tornado, bounced from Greensboro through Ruffin, kept on going, and it bounced onto our property and did a lot of damage. I won't go into all the details of that, just trying to bring up all the memories and stuff, but I can just tell you this, that it was a stressful time. That evening going through it, the next day showing back up, seeing all the damage and all of that, then dealing with the insurance company and the stress level with all of that. And at times going through that, because it lasted over a year trying to get things repaired and so forth, my stress level was up here. And at times I did feel like, God, why are you letting us go through this? Where are you at in this? Because this is just too overwhelming. I mean, conflict with everything, every single situation going on, it just felt like it was just too much. And I did feel like at that time that the Lord, why are you allowing this? Where is your hand in it? Second event was about 2 weeks later, April 30th. I went through my first neck surgery. The neck surgery wasn't too bad. The anesthesia was a little bit rough. Recovery wasn't too bad, but it was the points leading up to April 30th. Again, insurance company, dealing with my job, dealing with trying to get the house ready because I knew I was going to be out of commission for a while, and then the tornado happened. And then I'm like, what do I do? So going through all of that, I felt like, God, why are you allowing this to happen? It wasn't an accident that caused my neck issues. I don't know what happened to it. All I know is that I needed surgery because I was going paralyzed in my arm. So something had to be done. And I didn't like it. Felt like, you know, having to depend on Samantha too much, having to start depending on Abby. Abby even grabbed the weed eater one day and started weed eating for me. Samantha got on the lawnmower and we've got video of her. And was that after I can't remember which surgery that was. So it was after my neck surgery too then. I've got video of her riding around on the lawnmower and it's like she's on the derby or something. I mean, just So the lawnmower survived the tornado. Joshua helped me get some parts and stuff and get it fixed. And it survived Samantha Johnson. I mean, it's still going too. So those are the two events within my own life. I know that y'all can think about y'all's lives and the different issues that some of y'all have had and have experienced and you're continuing to experience. And there are points in our lives where we just feel overwhelmed and we feel like, God, where are you at in this? Why are we going through this? We can think about our own nation and what we're going through. We can think about how sin has become rampant within our nation and so forth. We can list out a lot of different things that we're going through and we can feel like God has forsaken us. But when we get through that valley and we start to see the clouds lifting and we see the sun start to shine again, we can start saying, well, God, you have moved in this way and this way and this way and this way, and you did not forsake me. You actually cared for me. Romans 5:3. Four of us guys are meeting. Y'all don't have to turn this. I've got these written down. Our guys group is meeting and we're going through chapter by chapter of Romans, and we're in chapter 5 this week. So Romans 5:3, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. and perseverance, character, and character, hope, in verse 6 says, while we were still helpless. But we have to go through those things. These life events we have to go through because God wants to purge out everything about Kenneth Johnson that is fleshly and Adamic. He wants to make me and conform me into the image of Jesus Christ. And that takes this pruning process, removal process, bringing out things within our lives that we knew was probably there, but we didn't really deal with it. And then the Lord will allow situations, and he may even cause things to happen in our lives so that these things will be brought up so that we can deal with them and we can address them. And I've seen it through the events in my life, how he's allowed me to see things within my life that are not right and that are not honoring to him. And he is still working on me. So the aftermath of the tornado, the neck surgery that I went through, all of the difficulties before and after these events. And again, looking back, I can truly say all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So he calls us, we receive the Lord Jesus Christ. He fills us with his love, and we respond back by loving him. There's a song by Andre Crouch, Through It All. I just want to read a couple of the stanzas. So I thank God for the mountains, and I thank him for the valleys. And I thank him for the storms he brought me through. For if I'd never had a problem, I'd never know that God could solve them. I'd never know what faith in his word could do. That's the reason I say that through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Let me tell you that through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. And he, in that song, he puts it in the past tense, but I would say that I'm still learning to depend upon his word. So those are events from my own life. I know that you can probably think about life struggles that you've gone through and that you're going through and where you may have felt like God had forsaken you. And then hopefully as you've gone through it, you've been able to see that God did not forsake you. So I want us to look at another event, and it took place roughly 2,000 years ago. And it's an event that we celebrate today. One event that changed the world, and yet it was an event that tested a man more than any other human being has ever been tested. This man went through similar emotions as I experienced, yet he never sinned. He didn't respond like I did. He didn't respond in the flesh. He didn't respond according to the Adamic nature. How he responded is why we're here this morning. Turn to Isaiah 53. As we read these verses, just think about who it is that's being described and what this person is going through. And we need to reflect and we need to remember that he's not going through this because of his sins. He's going through this because of my sins, because of your sins. And that makes the situation completely different. When I think about the tornado, I didn't cause it, but my response was not always admirable. It was not always honoring to God. My neck issues that I had, I didn't cause as far as I know, but how I responded to the events that I went through was not according to Scripture. It was not flowing with the love of Christ at that time. I had a lot of stress and I had a lot of fleshly responses to those things. So when we read Isaiah 53 and we see what God has done to this person and allowed this person to go through these things and what mankind has done to this person, and then just always remember that he never responded in sin, and he didn't have these things happen to him because he was a sinner. That's completely different than what we are and what we have done. So Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living, for the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear the iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. So in this section, there's another word that stood out to me that I circled and highlighted and so forth, and it's another three-letter word, our. O-U-R. So go back and read the chapter again in your own time and pick out where our is and how it connects with the things that are going on and why this person, Jesus Christ, went through these things. He was crushed for our iniquities, the chastening for our well-being. And it's just describing what's going on and why it's going on. And it's going on because of you and me, not because of the Savior. Turn to Psalm 22. Psalm 22, where I'm going to jump around a little bit. I'm not going to... I'm going to skip some of the verses in this one. So Psalm 22 is a psalm of David, but it's prophetic in it. It's talking about the Savior to come, the man of sorrows to come. So verse 1, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear. And in the night season, I am not silent. But I am a worm and not a man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord, let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. I should have told you I jumped down from 2 to verse 6, I'm sorry. So we're on verse 9 now. But you are he who took me out of my womb, out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth. From my mother's womb, you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. You have answered me. Just the descriptive terms within this chapter, and then to see the fulfillment in the New Testament, and to see what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. We think about the resurrection, but there had to be a death, there had to be a crucifixion, there had to be all of these things that went on, the mocking, the beating, the whipping, and just the disrespect, not only to a human being, but also this is the God of glory, and His creation is disrespecting Him in such a way. And yet the God of glory allowed that to take place. That should boggle our minds, in that we're capable of so many awful, sinful things, and yet God would willingly allow us to do these things to Him. Even as believers, we still sin, right? I haven't gotten to that point where I don't sin anymore. I long for that day, but I haven't gotten there yet. Even if it's a small sin, it doesn't matter. That is, I'm trying to think of a descriptive word for that, but it's disgusting to God. Even though our sins are forgiven, still as believers we sin, and that sin is still disgusting. It's something that He doesn't like to breathe that in. We butchered chickens yesterday. I don't like smelling that, the smell of death. That's what sin brings. It brings death. So every time that a human being sins, even though that price has been paid on the cross, that stench of sin is still there. So I long to see the Lord Jesus Christ, and I long to not sin again. In Matthew 27:46, we see the Lord Jesus Christ bringing to fulfillment Psalm 22. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And Christ is on the cross at this time, and it feels like the weight of the world is on Him, which it is. The weight of our sins is upon Him. It is as if He had committed every single one of our sins, past, present, and future. When He was on the cross, how many sins had we committed? We weren't born. We hadn't committed any. But God knew how many sins we would commit, and Jesus Christ paid for every single one of our sins, past, present, and future. He was feeling the weight of our sins. He was feeling the weight of the wrath of God, and He, first time in His life, had been disconnected from God the Father. God the Son was disconnected from God the Father. And if you understand that, you're smarter than me, because I can't understand how God can separate Himself. But at that time, God the Father could not look upon God the Son, because God the Son was carrying the sins of the world, and He was going to be judged for that. Verse 50 says that Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up His spirit. Turn over my page. So in contrast to the crowds and what they did, we read this in Psalm 22 of how, and also in the New Testament as well, how they cried out to crucify the Lord Jesus Christ. How they cried out away with Him. They didn't want to have anything to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet the Lord would plead with His Father to forgive them. You and I, if we were there, what would we do? More than likely, we would be like the crowd, crucify Him, away with Him. We don't want Him to rule over us. How do we know that? Because even as believers, we still fight the Lord when we feel like the Lord wants us to do something, and that's not something that we want to do. We still, "Lord, I want You to save me, but I don't want You to rule over me in this area or this area or this area." We still struggle with that even as believers. So it was for us, it was to fulfill the promise of God given to mankind in Genesis 3. Remember that prophecy, the seed of the woman crushing the head of the serpent. It is for this that He exhales, "It is finished." Everything that we had done to Him, He took it, and He finished the work of God on our behalf. When Jesus cried out with a loud voice, He said, "Father, into Your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this, He breathed His last. You think about us and where we're at today. where we were as unbelievers, we had forsaken God. Yet God forsook His Son for us. In those moments on the cross, the wrath and justice of God were Christ alone to bear. None but Jesus could pay the wages of the sin of the world. All thy sins were laid upon Him. Jesus bore them on the tree. God who knew them laid them on Him, and believing, thou art free. Paul says of the gospel in Romans 1:16, it is the power of God unto salvation. It is the gospel that proclaims the reality of what Jesus has done for us, what He's done for God. Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 9 to recount the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. If He died and never rose again, He didn't accomplish much. If He died and rose again but didn't ascend, it wasn't finished. If He died, rose again, and ascended but didn't send the Holy Spirit, we couldn't live the Christian life. He did it all for us. He took care of all of our needs as it relates to God and that relationship that we so desperately needed. Jesus Christ fixed it all. So He was forsaken on our behalf. He was punished with the punishment you and I deserve. Yes, verily God, yet become truly human, lowered in angels to die in our stead. How was that long-promised seed of the woman trod on the serpent and bruised His head? How didst thou humble thyself to be taken, led by thy creatures and nailed to the cross? Hated of men and God too forsaken, shunning not darkness, the curse, and the loss. How hast thou triumphed and triumphed with glory, battled death's forces, rolled back every wave? Can we refrain from telling the story? Lord, thou art victor, O death and the grave. So today Christians are gathering to celebrate the one event that changed the world, that turned societies upside down, that broke down the wall of separation between Creator and creation. God poured out punishment on Christ. He now pours out His grace on us. Those who believe, who simply trust with childlike faith in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are given eternal life. We receive the life of Christ. God receives us in Christ Jesus. Sees us as if we had never sinned, accepts us in His beloved. So I often ponder in my mind, and the question is on that sheet that I handed out. My God, why would You save me? Why would He save us? There's nothing within us that would make us savable, that would make us lovable, and yet He has done great things for us. A wonderful redemption, the price for sin is paid. Salvation is accomplished, my heart is unafraid. For God has raised Christ Jesus to show the work is done. His glorious resurrection declared the victory won. The Savior of all people has brought His peace to you. Now go and tell the story, for others need it too. To every land and nation, ring out the gospel call. Proclaim that Christ is risen and grants His peace to all. So life is difficult. Because of sin, this world is full of misery and sorrow. Yet in Christ Jesus, there can be peace, joy, love, contentment, hope, and faith. God hasn't forsaken us, and He hasn't given up on us. So what about you? Where are you at in your relationship with Him? For those of us who are Christians, where do you go in difficult times? Do we flee to the Scriptures? Do we flee to Christ Jesus? Do we flee to the Father? Do we flee to the Holy Spirit, this Godhead three in one? Do we take our resources so that we can live a victorious Christian life? Do we look to Him at all times? Have you seen Romans 8 worked out in your life? We have His promise that He'll never, no, never leave nor forsake us. And again, during these things that we go through, a lot of times we may feel like that, but always remember the past experiences where God has pulled us through these things, and we can see His faithful hand through everything that we're going through. So tomorrow, if you end up in a temptation or a trial or a test, and it seems like it's a real struggle, remember what He did for you yesterday. Remember what He's doing for you today. Remember what He did 10, 15, 20, however many years it is that we've been on this earth. We can see His faithfulness in our life and how He continues to do this. I don't know if there's any unbelievers here, but if you are, I'll go ahead and give you an invitation. Those here who are not Christian, maybe you feel like God has forsaken you because of some sin you've committed or because you keep sinning. There is no one who has sinned so much that they cannot be saved. There is no one for whom Jesus did not die. The Lord has not forsaken you. The fact that you're here this morning is evidence of that. He has given you another opportunity to accept His free gift of salvation. So I would encourage you, if you are an unbeliever, to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't believe that He's faithful, ask a believer that's in this room, because I'm sure that we could tell you story after story after story. And if you ask us tomorrow, we would have new stories to tell you about how faithful God has been in our lives, even when we have not been faithful to Him. The Lord is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. You ask me how I know it. He lives within my heart. I'll open it up to the men for any discussion or anything. God is good. There you go. Even when I'm not. We're not here because of Easter. We're here because of the resurrection. That shows that God is powerful and He's loving. For what He has done for us, in spite of who we are. It goes on that He wants us to be with Him for eternity, as messed up as we are. But He's going to make us perfect. He's already forgiven us. He's already given us eternal life. We're signed, sealed, delivered. It says that we are seated with Him in heavenly places. I don't always feel like that, but that's where I'm at. I'm just waiting to get that reality. Let's close in prayer. Father, we are here this morning specifically to remember and celebrate the resurrection of our risen Lord. The events that took place, the prophecies that were fulfilled, how these words speak to our hearts as we've read them this morning, to know that He received the worst of man and the worst of God. And He did it because You so loved the world. He did it because He so loved You and He so loved us. So, Father, help us to remember that great cross work that was done on our behalf. To remember what we have received in the Lord Jesus Christ. We think about His resurrection. But we also think about when He was on that cross, according to the Apostle Paul, we were also co-crucified with Him. We were also co-buried with Him. And we've been raised to new life in Christ Jesus. Father God, it would be a blessing, it would be a pleasure, it would be the fulfillment of our lives, it would be the best day ever if You were to rapture us up even right now as we close out in prayer. But until that time when You call us home, whether by rapture or by death, help us to be faithful to You. We've been reminded this morning that You have never forsaken us, even when we were unbelievers. Even as believers, when we go astray, You never forsake us. Help us to not forsake that gospel call and to represent You well while we're here. Help us to love others, even if they spit on us, even if they are unmerciful to us, because we know that they did far worse to our Savior. Lord, we just love You and we praise You. In Christ's name, amen.